This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Do you remember when Pope Benedict, when he was crowned Pope, he asked us to pray for him so that he would not flee for fear of the wolves? What a poignant plea from the Pope. He was thinking of the Gospel of the Good Shepherd. It's a gospel we can sometimes read on this Sunday. We didn't do it this Sunday, but we can read it about the Good Shepherd. And he was thinking about the Gospel of the Good Shepherd as he being the Good Shepherd, and his task and his role as Pope is not ceremonial, is not symbolic, it's real, and it's arduous, and it's sometimes painful. And if he fails to protect us as the shepherd, and we as the sheep, because he's afraid of the wolves, because he's afraid of the enemies of the church, those from within and those from without, then he will lose not only the souls of the sheep, us, but maybe even lose his own soul. Now you might say, when you're thinking about the Pope, well, that's really pretty unlikely. How holy the Pope must be to become the vicar of Christ. Think of all the graces that he receives, not to mention all the help of all the advisors and the prayers of 600 million people within the world. How is it possible that the Pope should ever worry that he might flee for fear of the wolves? Did Jesus himself not say to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you"? Is that not all a guarantee that God will protect the Pope and protect the church, and that no one has to worry? Sit back, relax. But you see, that won't work. Because to say sit back and relax, don't worry about it, does not take into account that the world and its people, including the Pope, are still scarred by original sin, and are therefore, because of original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, our first parents, we are wounded. We are prone to wrongness and mistakes and ignorance and weakness. We are prone to that. Oh yes, we are redeemed. We have been saved by Christ's sacrifice. We are like the disciples in today's gospel on the road to Emmaus. We have seen the Lord. He has shown us the marks of his salvation. See, is this not me? So we know him. And he's risen from the dead. His wounds are visible on his risen body. There is victory. But there is no ultimate victory for us until we have died and left this valley of tears. Because we are still capable of losing that salvation, of falling into temptation and sinning, and not appropriating to ourselves the graces which God has won for us on the cross. So that's why the Pope asks for prayers. It's not a lock. Oh, he's a Pope. No problem. He asks for our prayers because he needs our prayers. Because he's just like us. He's just as engaged in this struggle daily for salvation that we're faced with. He's faced with the same choices we're faced with, day in and day out. How do we love Jesus and fulfill his will in our daily lives? Now the question the Pope asks about how he fulfills the will of God in his daily life is asking, how can he be the best shepherd that he can be? How does he teach his people and encourage them in the faith despite all the attacks against them, us, and against him? How does he shepherd the flock so that it is not confused or harmed by the assaults of the godless men of this world? And how does he muster the courage to go up against these wolves, to stand his ground in front of these wolves and proclaim the fact that Christ is risen, and he must teach the world exactly what the resurrection means? Now, I cannot imagine how difficult it must be to be the Pope, at least a good Pope. And almost all of them have been good and serious and holy. But the Pope wakes up every morning, and they brief him on all the news of the day, and he hears about some would-be dictator somewhere in the world who's forcing Catholics to do things or support things that are intrinsically immoral. like recognize gay marriage or make Catholics pay for the killing of babies. And he knows he has to say something, but what does he say and how does he say it most effectively? And then maybe he hears about some group of priests or nuns somewhere who are giving in to the wolves, who have gone against the church, and now he must figure out a way how to deal with them to stop any further hurt to the church. And it's never all that clear to the Pope how best he should deal with all of these situations. Does he take a hard line with them and condemn them from on high? Or does he try to convince them gently with words and wisdom? How much rope should he give them before he has to haul them back in? Will he lose millions of his flock if he acts too quickly? Will he lose millions of his flock if he acts too slowly? In whichever way he responds, the world and the worldly members of the church will not react favorably. They will carp and complain and criticize and wish for a pope more to their liking, or no pope at all. The world and all its wolves never tires of hoping for the end of the papacy. You know, they hung the papacy in Rome 100 years ago, and they dumped the dead pope's body in the Tiber River. So they've never liked them. I have the idea of a pope, and they don't want it. The world and all its wolves never tires of hoping for the end of the papacy. And they will spare no expense to mock him and demean him and reduce him in the eyes of the world as irrelevant to who we really are as progressive people. The wolves ask, why doesn't the pope just go away? And you know what? The Pope hears all this, and he's human. And it's just as painful to him as it would be to us. It's just like when we're sitting at some holiday dinner with our families, and not too many of them go to Mass anymore, and they're babies, if they even have any. They aren't baptized. And they kind of look at you as the family oddball that still goes to church and still believes in this mean old Catholic stuff, like not killing babies and sterilizing ourselves and damming up our mothers with birth control. And how weird that you don't think the gay marriage is the next great step in the evolutionary cycle. And then they ask you, just to trap you, don't you think Barack Obama is just wonderful? This is what the Pope goes through every day. And he is just as prone as the rest of us to the temptation, go along to get along. To not say what needs to be said just to keep peace, just to keep everyone friendly, to give in to the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. Just for now, he might say. Maybe I can come back to it later. But then he remembers he's the shepherd. And to back off and back away for fear of not seeming cool, not seeming contemporary, not seeming progressive and fashionable and reasonable and modern, he realizes that he would be fleeing his post. He'd be running away from his job for fear of the wolves. I remember hearing many years ago, the Pope John the 23rd went to confession twice a week. Now you ask, what conceivably could a little old pope confess at all, let alone twice a week? Well, maybe he confessed every time he gave in to flattery and started to believe all the good things they were saying about him. Maybe he confessed that sometimes he was afraid of the bad things they might say about him and didn't want people to say bad things, so he did things that would please everyone. We will never know of the extent of the pressures exerted upon the Pope, whoever the Pope is, but those pressures are huge, and they come from within the church as well as from without the church. They come from bishops who don't obey to theologians who don't believe, from presidents and prime ministers who want to force the church to their will, or to the ruler of this world who wants to destroy the church. And being human, the Pope must struggle with those pressures to say and do what our Lord wants said and done so that no one in the flock perishes. And we as the flock, we have our own obligations to remain the flock, to give the Pope someone to shepherd. We must stay true to the faith and to the implications of the faith, and therefore true to the Pope. We ourselves must stand our own ground in the face of the wolves all around us. The wolves in our lives would like nothing better than that we each give in just a little bit to the way things are now. You know, it's a little more contemporary. And then they'll all like you better. And then they can talk to you. And we wouldn't be so judgmental and so rigid and so regressive. Wouldn't that be nice if we Catholics just kind of gave in a little so we could all get along? That's the temptation we have. You know, in the Gospel of the Good Shepherd, Jesus says that one day there will be one fold and one shepherd. And I've always taken that to mean that before the end of the world comes, everyone will become Catholic with the Pope as their shepherd. Well, I have the feeling that that moment is farther away than we might have ever thought. But that's okay, because all that means is that we keep up our prayers for the Church and its chief shepherd on earth, the Pope, and that he be the brave, fearless shepherd that Jesus expects of him, and that he never flee for fear of the wolves, because that will make him the very shepherd his flock needs if we are going to survive until the end of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.